So today we are on with Talia. She is the president of my environmental frat, TAP, or I should say frat, environmental, can we say frat?
Yeah, we can say frat.
it's an organization that like promotes like sustainability and like learning about sustainability and like all different types of sustainability on campus. And yeah, she also does like a lot of cool things. She's involved in a lot. So if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself or what you want to talk about today.
Yeah, sure. I'm flattered too. Yes, I'm a part of that sustainability organization and I study environment as my major too. I'm a junior here at the U of M, and what I like to do, I'm a dancer, I'm a reader, I'm a vegan going on, I think, 4 or 5 years now, but I think one of the topic that I sort of landed on for today was how to read and, like, things that you enjoy reading when you're also a college student that has their eyes bleed from all the reading that is assigned, which is a very real struggle, I feel like. And I might have some advice, suggestions, or things to share. But yeah, I actually, all through my life, like, I was a bookworm. So that's, I'm biased in this opinion. Yeah. I'm never someone that's like, books, ew. It was always an escape when I needed it to be, an entertainment source when I wanted it to be. So when I tell people, like, last year I read 50 books in year during the school year, that sounds like an outrageous number, but that's also usually my most productive year in terms of schoolwork too.
Right.
It's sort of this rhythm you get into that reading things you love makes you more motivated to get to other things too. Like, it's sort of like a reading muscle what I like to call it.
For
and
sure.
If you exhaust it with policy readings or like IPCC readings or like
cases
then it'll die out. Like, it'll give out at some point. So I think one of the best like pieces of advice that I give any friend that asks me how do you read read so much, start with reading something you absolutely love. An airport rom-com. It could be like it could be a poetry book that you really like. It doesn't, like, reading doesn't have a assigned value in terms of genre in my mind, and I think that's something that people need to get over to, because, like, not all of us are lovers of the literary kind, you know.
Also, to speak to that, reading doesn't have to necessarily, like, have an agenda. Like, you know, the reading we do for class, like, the agenda is to, like, understand the course material, but, like, what you're saying, like, a rom-com crappy, like, not good book is, like, has value.
It has value,
And if you're gonna, like, enjoy reading it, then that, I also, like, hate, I've noticed this a lot at, like, Michigan, and, like, the pretension surrounding reading and, like, pretension surrounding reading material. Like, it's, like, if you're not reading Shakespeare and whatever, if you're reading these, like, crappy whatever. Also, that's, like, I'm playing into that. But, like, beach reads, then it's, like, in some way, like, in a way less than, like, reading this, like, advanced literature.
Right.
Which it shouldn't
And it's
be.
Not. And I think, what you were saying is, like, it's important to, like, I did it especially over winter break. I got this, like, book series for Christmas, which, like, was a little out of pocket on my parents' part, because, like, I don't really, like, read for fun anymore, you know, which, you know, is the whole problem, obviously. And I read the entire series over winter break because, like, it was so fun to, like, remind myself that I love reading, because I haven't been able to do that at school, you know. I've been reading, like, really long articles or, you know, passages from books, and, like, if it doesn't interest you, you know, you don't want to continue with it.
Right.
Like,
that is so important. And also, like, just finding time, like what you're saying, like, I was, like, thinking about this, like, when you told me this is what you're going to talk about, I was like, oh my god, like, that's so, but, like, I would never have time. Like, I would never have time to do it. But, like, I have time to, like, watch TV.
Exactly.
Scale down on the Big Mouth. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's time.
Yeah.
Just
make time.
Yeah.
That's so true,
I think that, like, having time versus how you use that time changes because of that reading muscle.
Yeah.
Because reading never sounds like something that you could do while your brain is switched off, like watching TV or scrolling on TikTok, you know, everything like that usually is what we resort to when we're off duty as students, because it's like my brain is it's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't like force myself to read more, but it's probably different if you're actually reading something that's like very a breeze to get through and not something you have to decipher.
Right.
I don't know. And yeah, my go-tos are like romance and fantasy. I really like mysteries too.
I love mysteries so much. I literally love mysteries so much. Oh my gosh.
I actually read like a year ago, probably over Christmas, Murder on the Orient Express. Such a good book. Like, mm-hmm. I love that mm-hmm. book. Like, it was just, and like, again, like, that's honestly, this is really sad. It's probably the last book I've read. Like, I've read books for class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, no, that's like the last book I like chose to read that mm-hmm. I like wanted to read. Which is really sad. Like, I don't know. Like,
it's also a product of just the amount of work we have to do, you know? Like,
exactly.
I think, I don't know. I really like, I don't want to get her name wrong. Is it Agatha Christie?
Yeah, Agatha Christie, yeah.
Did she do Murder on the Orient?
I think so.
Okay, I read one of her, it was like, something counting down, 10, it was something with like 10, 9, 8, 7.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
And then they were gone?
Yeah, and then they were, yeah. I really liked that one. Yeah. I really liked that. I read that like, probably a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also like, my mom is really into reading. Like, that's what she does. Like, literally every morning she's reading. Like, she's never, I don't know, like, it's insane. She's never not reading. She has the Nook. And like, she's just like, oh my gosh. Like, it's insane. When she like loses her Nook, she goes into like a fucking like frantic. Like, she just like goes manic. She's like, wow, like, whatever. But like, the speed that she reads is insane too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying, the muscle, like she can just like, also like she retains it. Like she can just like do that and it's so fast. And she's like, this is what's relaxing to me. Like she's gotten to the point where it's relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas me, like, I kind of see reading as almost like a chore. Like I don't, it doesn't seem like something that would be like decompressing.
Yeah, right.
Which it could be if you like reframe your, I don't know, your thinking surrounding it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny that we're talking about this because I'm in a reading slump right now. I've been reading the same book for like the last 2 or 3 months and it's not going anywhere just because personal reasons in life and all of that. But I used to be really good at burning those pathways into like the neural pathways to, I don't know how to, I read something about that too, like building a habit is easy when you associate it with something. So you said your mom like reads during in the mornings before breakfast or maybe during breakfast. It's easier to get around to reading when you pair it up with like your nightly routine, maybe.
Yeah.
Like you clean your face, you like brush your teeth, and you like sit down by your bed to read like 10 or 20 pages before you go to bed. That's like a part of your routine and your brain doesn't have to like overthink it because you sort of came to that conclusion. Or the student brain is always there, so I sort of made a, what is it called? I made it so that reading is my, something I can do after, I don't know, watching a lecture.
Right,
or, like, I don't know.
Recharge almost.
Yeah, recharge. It's kind of like a gift, a prize. Oh my God, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, kind
like
of
a reward.
That, the reward mechanism when you like watch a lecture, you can read for like 30 minutes or
that
like.
That's such a good way to frame it. Yeah.
So cool. Yeah, literally, I should do that.
No, it's like really sad because I don't know if you remember. Okay, sorry. By the way. It's like Evelyn. I'm Evelyn. I realized I never introduced
myself. Oh, I'm Ella.
A little late for that. Whatever. Anyway, so Ella and I are roommates. And, like, I don't know if you remember, like, at the start of the school year, I would read before bed. Not even, probably more, like, 5 to 10 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's because I did it, like, in high school. I'd always, like, read before bed. It just, like, helps me get, like, you know, tired and ready to fall asleep. And, like, now I don't. And, like, I don't know. I think it's also I'm just so exhausted. Like, I don't really need the whole, like, reading thing anymore.
I just,
like,
lay down, I'm done. Like,
close my eyes and I'm, like, out cold. So.
No, for real.
Yeah.
I think that's okay, this is kind of bullshit. But, like, I've seen, like, some stuff online, like, on TikTok, where it's, like, healing your inner child. Like, have you seen that? And, like,
with reading?
With, like, no, but just, like, doing activities that, like, remind you of, like, being a child again.
Yeah.
Like, one of the examples was, like, I don't know, like, as a kid, I never got to do Like, I never got to, my parents would, like, let me get ice cream. So, like, now I take myself out for ice cream.
Nice,
like, stuff like that. As a child, like, I read so much.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, I, like, had, like, chronic insomnia as a child, which was all, no, yeah, it's kind of bad. But, like, I would, like, read. Like, I would just, like, read to go to bed. And I remember, like, just, like, reading. And, like, the only, it was probably, like, weird mindset. But I was, like, the only way I can go to sleep is if I'm reading and, like, fall asleep on the book.
Oh, wow.
I would, like, read
until
I fall asleep.
That's.
Like, every night. Like, I, but, like, and I loved it. Like, I loved reading.
Yeah.
I did this thing in school where you had to, like, read 20 books. You got the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so into that. And now I'm, like, I don't read at all. And, like, I do, like, remember, like, I do like reading.
Yeah.
But I just don't do it. Like.
No, yeah. For sure. That's why it was nice over winter break. Like, I really missed having a book where, like, it's, like, exactly, like, it's, like, a book you can't put down. Like, it's literally that. Like, I literally just couldn't put it down. Yeah. Like, it was so, but, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was so very refreshing because I missed having that.
The talk about putting down books is actually something I wanted to mention because it's, I low-key think I have OCD, not diagnosed or anything, but, like, I was so bad at putting books down. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not interesting. At the slightest, and I'm, like, actually, like, torturing myself to read this and, like, finish it because I started it, and it has to be done, you know?
It's,
it's a task in my mind at sometimes, but recently I've been very much more lenient around, like, if you're not enjoying it, just let it go and, like, move on to something else.
Yeah.
Maybe you can pick it up later, or you don't have to, but it's important to find something that actually brings you joy when you're reading, whether that's a beach read or a mystery.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, if you want to go read Faulkner, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever. Teach their own.
But,
do you have any, like, speaking of, like, books you can't put down, do you have any, like, favorite books?
Let me pull up my Goodreads for a second.
Oh, she's serious. Okay,
yeah.
My Goodreads is, like, very much not updated. I, like, I have the account, and I have, like, because, like, it's, like, there are, whatever the algorithm is, like, is really well done. Like, how they suggest books. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gotten some really good books out there.
I don't even really know what Goodreads is, so, like, you're above me.
Like, I'm sure you've seen it before just by chance.
I think I have, like, looking up stuff for English.
I'm sure. It's, like, basically they have a ton of books, and it's like Rotten Tomatoes for books, kind of. Like, they'll rate it, and they'll tell you, like, kind of, like, a synopsis. And then if you make an account and, like, give it books that you like, they'll start suggesting, like, you might like this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, a lot of the times it's pretty, I don't know.
It's
pretty
good.
They know what they're doing. Yeah,
exactly. I'm looking at all my 5 stars right now, and it's mostly, so I'm big on fantasy.
Yeah.
But it has to be, like, Game of Thrones is another sort of fantasy that's, like, slow moving. The show is very similar to the books. I tried reading the first one. It was not the mood at the time.
That's what I actually heard,
It takes a long time to build up. But there are some fantasy authors, one of which is Brandon Sanderson, who just writes in a way that everything revolves around this very intricate story that he wrote, and you get to know the characters, but he doesn't dwell on, like, what color, like, what tone of gold their buttons were, you know?
See, like, I remember in English class, it's very subjective to, like, what teacher is teaching it. I remember, like, being in this class, and, like, we'd have to, like, critique and, like, analyze writing. And I remember, like, being, like, they'd be like, oh, this writing isn't good enough because it doesn't give us, like, enough, like, you know, it's, like,
adjectives,
show, don't tell.
And,
it's, like, what is it? Oh, I should know this, my English teacher is going to be, like, yeah. And, like, it's, like, indirect or direct characterization.
Right? Yes,
like, indirectly characterizing. And I'm like, I didn't really even, like, what you're saying. I'm like, this is too much.
Yeah.
Too much exposition. I'm like, just, like, get to it.
Just get to the point.
She did not agree with me on that. That was
another
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, not everyone writes to appease English teachers.
Right.
Like, the audience is different, and I'm the audience for this shit. Like, I'm, I don't know if we can swear.
No, you can.
You can. You can.
Yeah, it's
very much,
like,
so.
I don't know. The quality of writing, the lyrical aspect of it might be different for other people, but this, like, author, Sanderson, is, like, you start slow, you start introducing characters, there are conflicts that rise up, and then things start to snowball. And in the, I kid you not, the last, like, fifth of the book, I could not put it down. These books are, like, 1,000 pages.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
The last fifth, I probably read in like one breath. Like I could not breathe. I forgot to breathe while I was reading it.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what is gonna happen? Like, no, are they gonna survive?
That's so cool when you can get that with a
Yeah. So I love that.
I think it depends on finding authors that you really like. Mm-hmm. And
that is true, yeah. Like styles of writing, yeah.
Right. It's also like what we were talking about before, just as like there's no like hierarchy to like what good literature is. It's what appeals to you. Mm-hmm. So like you need to find like what you're saying, you found this author that you really like their style. Yeah. Like maybe someone else doesn't like their style, but it's like finding what's good for you and like being okay with that and not being like this isn't, I don't know, good enough or whatever.
No, yeah. I feel like honestly that's the whole like Twilight debate, you know? Mm-hmm. Like my AP Lang teacher absolutely hates Twilight. She like she just thinks it's like really bad writing and she does like she just doesn't endorse it at all. And I don't know, I know some people who are like really into it and they couldn't, it's, you know, it's, it is one of those things like you can't put down and whatever, you know.
I love the books. I was a teenager when I read them and it was amazing. The experience is what matters. Like we don't have to like look at Twilight in the same vein as like, I don't know, Jane Austen and like compare
them. That's the thing. It's like, they're for different purposes, you know, like, I'm sorry, like, they were not, they were meant for different audiences, and they were meant
and
for,
they
like,
fulfilled it, and, like, that's fine, I also think it's exhausting, like, in terms of, like, I was an AP Lang in high school, and I remember, like, literally, everything we had to read, we had to analyze, and I'm, like, sometimes you just read for fun, you read to just, like, enjoy it, you don't need to be, like, oh, and then this is a allegory for whatever, like,
I know,
I'm, like, okay.
I'm, like, is it, I'm sorry,
sometimes, I don't know, I'm, like, what, like, I don't
some of those things are a reach, it's like,
a
extended metaphor,
yeah, sometimes a leaf falling off a tree is just a leaf falling off a tree, like, we can just keep it there,
just, like, let it be, but,
that's what I always hated, for all my English classes in high school, like, we'd have to read a book over the summer, and then come with it ready with, annotations, and, like, I would always just, I don't know why I tortured myself doing this, but, like, I would always read the book first, no annotations, and then go back and read it and put annotations, because, like, I don't, like, I hate annotating. I don't like it. Yeah. I know some people really, it helps them actually, like, interpret the book and internalize it, but, like, it just makes it choppy for me, and, like, it breaks the flow of the story. And,
yeah.
You know.
And, yeah, it's also, like, why is there only one way of looking at, that was another issue with me for, like, English and, like, analyzing English. Honestly, like, honestly, kind of, like, a roadblock for me, like, getting into English more is because, like, and I think it's different teacher by teacher, but, like, my teacher had this very, like, rhetoric of, like, there is one right way of looking at the story. Mm, this thing represents this one thing. And, like, the light in Great Gatsby being green means this. And, you can't think about it any other way. And I'm, like, that's problematic. Because how, like, how I'm relating to the book, it's not, doesn't have to fit this mold that you're
telling me. It's personal.
And literature is art. Like, you can't put frames around art that your silly little brain just, you know,
no, of
came
course.
Up with.
Yeah.
And then when you're getting a grade, you have to pander towards, like,
that's,
what the teacher wants to hear.
Yeah.
And right. But it's like...
No, I think the good, that's how you differentiate between, I know this is not a discussion about, like, English teachers or whatever, but... The difference between good English teachers and bad English teachers is that the good ones are able to recognize ideas that are valuable, that are different than what they interpreted, but can encourage those creative ideas too. Because like there are only like so many ways you can look at a Jane Austen like classic. I took a class on it and we read all six books, but this person, the professor was very open to all the discussions and interpretations and like everyone looked into, I don't know, some people looked into the theme of hands and all the stories and I looked at like mother figures and the lack of them and then who replaced them seemingly or something like that and it was a very open, like if I'm gonna look into it that closely just let me pick what I want to look into.
That's very true. Yeah, we need to, and then that's the other thing, like the added pressure of like not wanting to get into reading is because I'm gonna like think about it wrong, or I'm gonna need to be super like hyper aware and vigilant and like taking all these small little minute details so that I can later analyze it and like have this insightful discussion,
create a thesis, and
and it's like, why? Like I just want to read and like you can do that, you know.
I'm not an annotator either, like it pains me to do so, but one of my friends who does like to annotate uses a completely different technique in which, like, she highlights places where she feels something.
Very cool.
And I'm like,
oh, very cool.
That is revolutionary in my mind. That's like, very cool. You can go back and like revisit that scene or something, and it's just like, I still won't do it probably because I read in all shapes and like sitting forms, and it's not very like annotations.
Yeah, conducive to annotating. Yeah. No, that's a really good way of thinking about it because the annotations we had to do, it was like not even the fact that I had to annotate, but like how structured it was. Like I had to fill out these tables with like page number for what page number were there for metaphors, like find four metaphors, find alliteration, find statistics, primary evidence, whatever. And it's just like, then you're not really reading, then you're just like kind of digging through a book, looking for
that or whatever.
That's super cool.
That's awesome.
Wow, yeah.
That's very cool.
I've never thought of that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, this is very cool. I want to transition now. I want to transition to veganism. Can you speak on that? I don't know if you're ready. But, like, I have a complicated, not complicated, I was vegan for, like, a long time. And just, like, I want to talk about it.
Okay.
So what made you want to go vegan?
I think I was one of the people that watched all the necessary documentaries the emotions. I think what did it for me was Earthlings.
Okay.
That was primarily about animal agriculture and the treatment of animals in that vein. And also I knew that I was interested in going into like environmental studies as my major, and it like knowing the environmental costs of trying to maintain this westernized animal based diet and what it does to the planet, and what we're trying to save millions from climate crises while our diet is also killing the planet
and totally preventable.
So I did that research. It wasn't instantaneous change because I did the research, I wanted to do it, I told my parents, my mom said no. My mom was like, nope, if you want to be sickly, do it after you're 18 and you're on your own responsibility. It was like a very strict way to talk about it, but I knew it was coming. Like, she has some ideas about what is right and what is wrong. They're changing.
Yeah.
Now she's sending me articles about like vegan recipes and whatnot.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome. That's super cool.
The world changes and whatnot. But after like a couple months after that conversation, at one point I was just like, what if I slowly changed my choices during the day? Yeah. Like, what? Maybe it won't have the biggest impact right off the bat, but I kind of want to experiment with it. And I used to, like, our meal hours were so out of whack that everyone sort of cooked for themselves at home. So I started implementing more and more vegan meals into my day. And, like, 2 weeks later, I was like, I went to my mom and said, hey, I've been vegan for a while now. Have you noticed? And she was like, yeah. I've noticed. Yeah. And they never asked me to... Like, they always challenged my ideas, and I had to sit down with my dad about, like, why this is important to me and why I wanted to do it. And he got the idea that I was being very intentional and not dumb, not surviving off of fruits and vegetables only. Like, I knew, being a dancer before, like, I knew where to get my protein from, nutrients I would need to get a balanced diet in. So it wasn't... I know that it's not the same with a lot of people, so I keep reiterating that, like, I started off having those resources already, that mindset already in my brain.
Were you living in Turkey when you were doing that?
Yes.
Was it, like, accessible? Was it easier there?
No. Coming here, bestie, I gained so much weight because there are so many vegan options it's all worth it. Yeah. I love it. But like back home, it was like tofu was very expensive.
Yeah.
Right.
So it would be a lot more bean focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other, like, there's a transition period of your digestive system, let's just say. But it was all right. Like, I meal planned, and my high school did have like a meal plan that you would go get. And aside from the main, most things were vegan, like right. the rice and the yeah. like the side dishes were yeah. usually vegan. So I would just bring in something that was higher in protein, and I would yeah. Incorporate that and stuff. Going out, it was chips yeah. or like chips. I say very European-esque fries or like a salad yeah. or maybe like tomato yeah. Sauce pasta. Yeah. Like yeah. it was very not pleasant.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
but I loved cooking at home.
So that's good. Yeah, no, I went vegan in sixth grade, mm-hmm. and at the time I was living in Sweden, and like it was not
accessible.
It was not yeah. accessible. Like yeah. it was a lot. They eat a lot of dairy. I didn't realize yeah. how much dairy. They eat mm-hmm. a lot of dairy, and then like they eat a lot of beef because they have all these dairy cows. Mm-hmm. So like yeah, and like it just wasn't accessible. And like it's much more accessible in the States and like in Ann Arbor, like yeah. in like cities. You know yeah. what I mean? Like no. it's not, because there is this like. There's a lot of, like, plant-based, whatever, mm-hmm. like, meat alternatives. Not to say you have to eat meat alternatives, because they're also really expensive. Like,
no,
that's
very much
like,
so.
That's a barrier for people going vegan.
Yeah.
I'm not vegan anymore. I'm actually, mm-hmm. I'm a vegetarian, and, like, Evelyn is...
I'm a newly a vegetarian.
Yeah, I know. Like, you were saying, it's easy to convert, and, like, I think my take on eating more plant-based, and, like, we're both in, mm-hmm. like, environmental stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel... like there's this pressure in the environmental space that like mm-hmm. you need to be vegan or you're not doing enough, which I think small steps should be applauded. Like I think transitioning to more plant-based should mm-hmm. be applauded. It shouldn't be you're either like one way extreme yeah. or nothing. You know what I mean? Because then mm-hmm. that discourages people from even starting.
That's the thing.
To
yeah. No. Yeah.
You know.
Like having someone go like cold turkey. Like you know.
Yeah.
Like if someone were just like not like you know just regular whatever mm-hmm. not vegetarian anything. And the next day vegan, like, that's going to be a really, that's going to be a hard transition, especially, right. and I think it's, you know, like what you were saying, like, when you're living at home,
yeah.
that can be really hard, like, if you mm-hmm. depend on someone to cook for you, like,
yeah.
I definitely do,
yeah.
cereal is my, like, signature dish, like, I can't cook for myself, you know, and, like, and my dad's a chef, and so he's, like, always cooking, you know, like,
yeah.
he would always cook, like, make my lunch for school, and then dinner, and yeah. usually breakfast if he was there, and, like, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm also one of four kids, and so it's hard to be like, hey, can you make mm-hmm. dinner for five people and then a separate little dish for me? You know,
yeah,
like...
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's definitely
a consideration. Also, like, I think there is a... I think food is... There's a cultural element to food. I remember my grandma, like, in Christmas, there's, like, a bunch of traditional Swedish dishes we mm-hmm. eat. And, like, a lot of them are fish-based, actually. A lot of fish and, like, a lot of, like, cream and a lot of, like...
Yeah.
Whatever, not very vegan. Like, I don't think any of it is vegan. Mm. Maybe, like, the salad or,
no.
I don't know, she still puts... but, like, telling her, like, I'm not going to eat any of this was almost, like, heartbreaking to her. Like, mm-hmm. she was so... She's like, you love yeah. this. I make this for you since you were little, all this stuff. And, like, I'm like, oh, yeah. like, there is that to grapple yeah. with, too. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was hard. And, like, mm-hmm. I... What you were saying, you come at it... You came at it from a place of, like, having this background in, like, nutrition. And, mm-hmm. like, more, like, knowing what you should
yeah.
eat. I came at it not having that. I was
as a sixth grader.
Yeah.
And I was like, nothing was vegan, so mm-hmm. I would just like eat apples and almonds. Like I did not do it right. Mm-hmm. And like I've told Evelyn this before, but like my dad is 6'5". My mom's like, she's my height. And like I'm like 5'7". She's like probably 5'6". I feel like I should be a lot taller. Like I think like those pivotal years yeah. of like development and growth.
Fundamental,
because
yeah.
I was just eating fucking apples. Like that's why I'm. Well, like I'm fine with my head. I wouldn't want them. I'm very comfortable.
No,
but,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. you can do it in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
You can also do it in an unhealthy way. And same goes for eating like a meat-based diet.
No,
you
know? Of course.
You know what I mean?
It's I'm also a dancer, and so like we would have like. Not a ton, but we had some nutrition classes, and it does, like, you have to remember, like, not everyone has access to that. Like, I consider
yeah.
myself, I'm very grateful that I got to, like, learn about, like, what are the healthy proteins, and what mm. are the healthy, like, carbs, and, you know, mm. and it's important to have carbs, and, like,
yeah.
it's important to have everything, and, like, not mm. block any one thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think one of the most, like, daunting things about going vegan that my friends ask me about is, like, do you read every label? And I used to read every label. Like, it doesn't, okay, trigger warning, it doesn't come from a healthy healthy place.
Yeah.
Like, I would read for added sugars and stuff
yeah,
before
right.
I went vegan. But that experience sort of shifted to, like, does it have dairy? Okay,
right.
no, just
yeah.
put it in the cart. It's a very, like, automatic process
right.
for me right now, and it's
yeah.
not the same for anyone. And also, the broader aspect of veganism being the it diet or like vegetarianism yes. being the it diet, yeah. it does not, it can't fly in every community.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing a talk about this later on in a school event, but like being that aggressive vegan that goes, how dare you
yeah.
not change your diet? Like you're ruining,
yeah.
like you're taking a life. That's not a place where, from which, from you can approach people, because it's like, you don't know what they have access to. You don't know what foods they grew up with.
Yeah.
You don't know if they have a place that they could afford getting produce.
No,
like
food deserts are a huge, huge problem.
Yeah,
huge
and
problem.
If like. We had a very striking conversation with someone from a D&I team in the school that went to, like, if a mother is choosing, like, this is not about veganism, but, like, a healthy diet. If a mother is choosing between putting mayo in between two pieces of bread and giving versus giving nothing to the kid, she's going to choose the mayo
yeah.
sandwich because it's something.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of the conversations around veganism and vegetarianism revolve around spaces where people already have those options like
yeah.
built
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
No
right.
one's
exactly.
really like
yeah.
struggling to meet make ends meet
right.
and
yeah.
has the privilege.
It's
to,
always a choice. It's
it
always
is
a choice.
Choice.
Yeah,
yeah. This is I fully recognize that mm-hmm. and I feel very lucky to be able to make that choice.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's never gonna be productive or like positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be a positive change if vegans around the world just go, you guys are killing people. Like,
right.
there are ethical considerations that I have feelings too.
Yeah.
I have very strong feelings. But engaging in these conversations with other people, it's not never going to be productive to
no, it's not.
Be aggressive.
Yeah.
And more of like a celebration of minor changes that
right.
my friends make to their lives is so much better. Because I don't want my friend to be... feeling guilty for
yeah.
eating chicken when I'm in the room.
Yeah. No, yeah.
They like when I first have a meal with someone at my house or like at their house, they usually are reserved, like they don't know how to approach the situation and be like, "I'm so sorry, but I'm having this."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "That's okay." Like I
yeah.
used to have it too.
Yeah, right.
Like not that I would have it right now, but I understand. And then
yeah.
as they feel more comfortable talking to me about what they think and ask my reasons for being
yeah.
vegan, then the conversation sort of evolves into it being, hey, I had a vegan, I can't talk, I had a vegan meal today,
yeah.
I made this and this,
right.
and they're very excited about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the
it.
Right way, I fell very much into that trap, like I was, I think you're coming at it very like holistically, very, that's better. I was like in sixth grade, I remember we had to give a presentation, like persuasive presentation,
ooh.
And my persuasive presentation was on why everyone should be vegan, and I like screamed at my sixth grade class, and like I showed them all like the videos of like the baby chicks like in the grinder, and like all this, like I was like, this is what you're doing, like look
yeah.
at this, like, and she was like, shut it off. My teacher was like, no, no, no,
yeah,
like, whatever. And I had this like thing of like, you're such a terrible person if you're not vegan, and like I had this whole rhetoric in my mind. Also, I was being like heavily influenced by like online personas that
for
are
sure.
very, very...
No, you were very young at this.
Yeah,
yeah, I started,
very
you know,
impressionable.
Give yourself,
like,
yeah.
My dad's friend was a vegan, and, like, he would, like, tell me all this it was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell me all this stuff. He's like, you know, he would send me documentaries to watch, and I was, like, so far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Whatever. And, like, I remember sitting at lunch with my friends, and they told me one day, my one friend, she was like, Ella, it was so sad. She was like, Ella, are you, like, mad at all of us that we're not vegan? Like, do you not like us? And I was like, no, like, oh
yeah.
my God, I never thought about it. And like, do you think we're like bad people? And I was like, no, I don't. I really
no.
don't. And then I realized that I'm like, I can't, like, you can't just be this angry person. Like,
oh, yeah.
you demand change, whatever. And like, you can inform people and be like, this is why I think this is a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be so... I don't know. I think you don't have to be so
yeah.
strong.
Yeah. And I think that kind of turns it, like, I really like the conversation about how, like, big, like, industries that are actually doing, like, the damage that
yeah.
gives effects that we see, like, statistically, like, numerical
yeah.
mm-hmm.
evidence of, like, you know, whatever, climate change and everything. Like, those big industries, like, they are the ones at fault. Like,
yeah.
it's that, it's, like... industry versus, like, the individual,
right.
and I really, truly don't believe, like, I know, like, collectively a group of people can, like, do damage and, you know,
yeah.
can create, like, effects, but, like, targeting or like singling out people
yeah.
genuinely mm-hmm. does nothing, might even like push them in the wrong direction and be yeah. like, oh, vegans are so radical, whatever, I'm yeah. never going there, you know?
Exactly.
Instead, you can come at it from like a, we're all in this together, yeah. and like yeah. you and me, like, whatever. It's just like...
villainizing the individual.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's, I think it's a sweet spot, like a concoction of informing, encouraging, mm-hmm. and... Now I want to do all E's. inducing excitement.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's...
I'm going to make that a poster.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that tattooed on me.
but... Oh, it wasn't even informing. Okay, never
yeah,
mind.
Whatever. yeah, whatever. I thought it counts. Yeah.
But it's... Like, veganism is a form of personal activism.
Yeah.
Like, it has... It at some point becomes... political,
yeah.
it somehow becomes a stance that you take in life,
yeah.
which it's up to you to make it a positive one
yeah.
or a hostile one.
Yeah.
But yeah, my experience with it has been really good so far. Honestly, coming here from Turkey,
yeah,
you guys are so lucky to have such like
mm-hmm.
so many like options, and I'm very excited about like new businesses actually thriving
yeah.
with
oh, yeah.
those like alternatives and everything
right.
that's coming up, because that means there is demand.
Yes,
that they're growing, so that slow change with like collective
yeah.
action is happening. So I'm very hopeful. But again, the villainizing of individuals or like people from other background, like different backgrounds
right.
than
yeah.
yours,
yeah.
Would be very like different. I feel like here in the States, especially, people are very detached from where your food comes from
yes.
in the first place.
Yes,
I've met people that have not like in Turkey. We are a Mediterranean country mostly, so there is like a lot of fish and like
yeah.
every dish like you see it in all forms. But here. I've had my cousin, like, my step cousin, freak out when she first saw a whole fish
mm.
on her plate. And, like,
oh,
she
wow.
was like, how
yeah.
how am I going to eat it? How did you eat that fish fillet? Like,
yeah.
like, it's the same thing. You just don't see the, you know,
yeah.
there's the filtration of chickens as dinosaur, like, nuggets
right.
and all of that.
Yeah.
So
no.
It's also, yeah.
It's important to see where it's coming from.
It's
yeah.
also, like, I remember, yeah, when I was deep into the movement,
yeah.
I remember there was a big emphasis on, like, why do we call, and this is extreme, but, like, why do we call, like, a steak a steak? Like, why don't we call it, like, cow flesh? Or, like, why are we, like, giving
yeah.
these, like, pseudonym, I don't know if that's the right word, but, like, why are we doing these, like, little things?
We're covering it up, yeah.
Covering it up. Like, it's a steak, it's ham, it's
bacon,
whatever.
Bacon, yeah.
People don't want to, like, think about.
Yeah.
And you're right, you're saying, they are really detached, and I know there's a lot of, like, I don't know, my dad... I would actually, like, if I was going to eat meat, I would rather eat meat that was hunted, because I think that they're given isn't the right word, but, like, I think that the animals that you're eating then lived a much more fulfilling life, and they weren't in these, like, CAFOs and stuff like that. I don't think I'm going to eat meat, but, like, you know what I mean? And then
yeah,
also, like,
yeah.
if you're hunting it, you know where it's coming from, you have that attachment, you kind of have maybe more of a respect
mm-hmm.
for the animal you're eating.
No, yeah.
Potentially.
It's also, like, So, like, coming from... I'm from Traverse City, Michigan, which is, like, up north. There's a lot of, like, agriculture. It's... I feel lucky. It's interesting because it's, like... I would say it's, like, Traverse City is becoming more urban, but there's also a lot of farming land. And, like, my grandma specifically gets her eggs from a family friend. So she only... Her eggs are only from there. And, like, that's just one example. There's... You know, you can get, like, your meat sourced locally from there. And so, like... That's not, again, that is not super accessible.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
often, that's not accessible, like, in most cases. And, you know, it's obviously more expensive than going to Meijer or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a way to do it like that, like, finding, like, if you can, if it's possible, you know, like, local sources of whatever, dairy products or,
yeah.
you know, meat. And then you're, like, supporting someone you know,
mm-hmm.
and, like... You know, helping
not
that
the
kind
big
of
corporations that
exactly
are wreaking havoc
yeah.
on
exactly
yeah.
like
it's
you're supporting
yeah.
like local economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I also think like when I first got to Michigan, do you know the people in the Diag and they've moved into the union now? They want you to wear like the VR sets.
Oh, I haven't seen them now.
So they like have this VR thing and they want you to like put it on and like immerses you into like a factory farm where you're like seeing whatever, and then like you take it off and they're like, here are some vegan products, you should go vegan. and cool. Like, I think that's...
That's shock therapy.
That's shock therapy. It's a lot. Like, it's not very... And, like, also, I was like, you're not willing to even, like, have a discussion.
Yeah.
Because I talked to him, and it's actually, like, one of the main reasons I stopped being vegan was because of, like I wasn't getting the nutrients I need because, obviously, I wasn't doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one of my friends, her mom, actually, she lives in Switzerland, and she's a specialist there.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in eating disorders and going vegan post-eating disorder.
Okay.
Which is, like, because then they're using veganism as another, like, method of control. So it's not really for those reasons, the ethical reasons. Or maybe it could be in part. I don't know. People have different reasons, but whatever. Like, I think in some cases, any form of restriction in your diet is not a positive. You know what I mean? Like, so I think, like, telling those people that you should go vegan, you have to go vegan, is problematic. And, like, I told that to the guy because he was, like, getting on my nerves. I was like, just please leave me alone, like, whatever. I was like, and he was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was like, you can't say anything to that because it's just, I don't know. I think it's, you just come at it from, like, understanding and compassion. You can't just
shove
down those. That is very, like, I think you were right, is shock therapy. Like, putting someone... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best.
It's just strapping it off.
I did not know they were doing that, and I feel like there should be, like, there has to be consequences about it because it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't have a history of, like, diagnosed eating disorders or experience with that, but no dietitian in their right mind would recommend veganism or any sort of restrictive diet to a person that went through that and it's I don't know, there are so many nuances to approaching the situation
and just like eating in general, like it's hard.
I don't know
and I think you can, I think this is a very good conversation because I think you can come at it from, I think what you're saying is coming at it from compassion and like just informing is so much better than like the stereotypical, stereotypical. Like when I was vegan, everyone was like, "You're the angry, preachy vegan," and I kind of was, honestly.
Fair enough.
Tracks, but like, that's a bad rep to have. Mm-hmm. And like, even like, we were talking about this last night, like with feminism. I hate that like rhetoric of like feminists are just angry man haters.
Radicals.
And I mean, like, don't. To a degree, I don't want to again villainize the individual. That it's like, if you do a certain thing, you're feeding into it, and that's why people won't respect you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not right. But, I don't know, just generally coming at things with compassion is probably the best approach, and we receive the best.
Yeah, and coming at it, like, from a place, like, when you're ready to. Like, I think what you were saying with, like, if you want to make the choice to be vegan, like, you know, what we talked about, like, A, you have to, like, not be in a food desert, be somewhere where you can have, like, affordable vegan options that where you're still getting nutrition. And then B, just, like you were saying, like, if someone has dealt or is dealing with an eating disorder, like, you need to be in a place where you're like, okay, I can add these restrictions to my diet in a healthy way, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's very, it's tough. And it's, I felt it since being here more, just because I am an environment major. And I've talked to you about this, and, like, initially, like, I was like, oh, my God, like, how, I'm such a phony, like, I'm such a fake, that I'm, like, you know what I mean, I'm not a vegan, and I'm not doing all these things, I'm not, like, biking everywhere, and I'm not, like, being as sustainable and as whatever as I can, and I've kind of come to the place, and, like, no, you don't, you don't have to be, it's also, like,
no
it's
one can
really
do
hard
everything.
As a college student, like, especially living in the dorms, I'm, like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm in the sink washing my little thing.
It is dehumanizing,
like, oh gosh,
trying
like,
to, like, is, clean my glass plateware
really?
In a sink that's, like, I wash my face in that sink, like, not
it's
okay.
Like, yeah, it's really gross, and then there's, like, food, whatever, it's fine.
What happens in the dorm stays in the dorm.
Literally.
We're almost done.
Yeah.
We're there.
Home stretch.
Yeah, but it's hard, and it's also coming from a place of privilege to tell everyone that you need to be the most sustainable you can be.
Yeah,
yeah.
And, like, I like that TAP does a good job of this. That's, like, the sustainability organization, but, like, the sustainability movement as a whole lacks diversity.
Definitely.
In a major way, and I'm not contributing to that in any, I'm, you know, I'm, like, white and affluent and whatever, and I think that's problematic because other people's voices aren't being brought to the table and other people's, like, struggles specifically aren't being recognized, that it is hard for them to be more sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Also, who is bearing the burden of having to be more sustainable in this day and age when maybe certain countries did not contribute to the crisis that is at hand, and specifically talking about environmental things, but there's a lot more room for compassion and open-mindedness in the conversation, both in terms of like in on the side of vegan and vegetarian feeding people, like eating people, and the other people too, because if there's compassion, there won't be a defensive mechanism, but there will be curiosity, which is the best place to start a conversation at, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's move into iHeart. Okay. That was a good little... No, that was good. Oh. So what we do is, like, we go around and say...
Just something that we're just recently kind of enjoying. I can start just as an example. So my iHeart is... Actually, so, like, it was really warm in Ann Arbor, I feel like, and we had really good weather, and now recently it's gotten kind of, like, cloudy and rainy, and I kind of iHeart it. I kind of...
Really?
I don't know. I am really, like, I kind of enjoy just, like, walking around, and it's, like, kind of drizzly, like...
You listen to, like, some, like, Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Throw the boxer on,
I
don't know. I've never been, like, a huge fan, but, like, recently I've been really enjoying it, yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Hey, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good.
I try.
I have not been, but...
Yeah, it's you know, that's not everyone's cup of tea.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
No, I have not thought about this. What do I heart? I heart had this thing at the Ann Arbor coffee roasting thing today. It's called, like, Cup of Soul. So it's like a tea latte, but then they, like, infuse the milk with honey and then, like, do cinnamon in it.
Yum.
It's, like, really good. Like, I had that today, and, like, I want to have another one. It's very good. That's my iHeart.
That sounds heavenly.
Yeah.
I don't know what I heart, guys.
You mean literally anything. Just, like, an idea,
a
product that you've been liking recently, anything.
I have a lot of Taylor Swift. I don't know if you're... don't do it. It's too much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, I heart
at all.
More sunny days being in our future, because I think the reason why I can't appreciate the drizzle that's going on today is because we had that, like,
one we had a really nice, really, like, nice 60s. Yeah.
I think my mood depends on the weather, like, religiously, and I have been very not in the, like, just a cranky, you know, bitchy person, but then those, like, 4 days of sun just got me.
I was, like so kind I for was, no
like,
reason.
I was chirpy. I went to work out. I, like, took time for myself, and I was like, oh, who is she? I don't know.
I was walking around with, like, a smile on my face. I was like, what's...
I know. I was like, why am I smiling right now?
Stop it now.
Shut it down, yeah.
I was actually talking to my cousin. She lives in LA, or she lived in LA, and she also lives in New York, and she's, like, she has this whole philosophy on why, like, people in New York are a certain way and why people in LA are a certain way, like, I think, like, the general vibe, and her philosophy is, like, in LA, it's always, like, it's never really cold.
Oh, yeah.
It's always warm and whatever, and so people can just be very chill and happy, but in New York, it's, like, you gotta be kind of, like, gritty and, like, whatever, because it's cold, you have to, like, bear a lot.
Yes, yeah.
People are maybe less friendly.
No, I think, yeah, the weather affecting the mood thing is very...
But also, I think it's kind of badass to be a little, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I definitely prefer one or the other. Yeah. I'll take the cold weather, yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, weather does affect you. And then it's, like, I don't know, maybe it's, like, more special.
Yeah.
Because you don't get it all the time. Because when you do get it, it's, like, super nice. Yeah. I've heard Michigan summers are, like, amazing. So I'm excited for that.
I don't have AC in my house.
Oh, no.
I'll have to get a unit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a 3-shower-a-day kind of summer.
That was my
yes.
When I first got here.
Oh, my gosh. That was so
Bates does
bad.
Not have... That's a dorm we live in.
No,
does not have.
Not good for summer.
Does not have AC.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
No AC. Very stuffy.
Yeah.
Very...
It was not good.
It was terrible.
The way we had the fans set up was, like, so, like...
Yeah. There was, like, 7 running.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there wasn't, like, an electrical fire.
I was going to say. I was, like, scared for... Yeah.
It also, like, doesn't have heat. So... Maybe it does.
It's kind of, like, more recently it has, but for a long time, we didn't have heat, so.
They, like, wheeled in a little radiator for us.
Right, yeah, we're
that's
just.
That, like, was constantly on.
Yeah, we're just, like, spoiled now, I guess.
I get to dry my clothes, which was, like, I'm really surprised there wasn't a fire, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, anyway.
anyway.
On that note, I'm going to get fined by the university. That's fine. But I'm going to cut that out.
That'll get edited.
Yeah. So cool. I don't know. We can probably wrap it up. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you so
much. Thank you for having me. Good. This was really fun.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
see you next week.
Yeah. Yeah, see you guys next week.
I'll be following this along now.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
We'll figure out how to stop it.